we present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Once again, My Music comes out for an airing, with the cast list unchanged. And that means, of course, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton competing in musical knowledge against John Amos and Frank Muir. So we have two professional musicians, two professional writers.
Which are we?
Let's see if they can identify the professions or trades or callings of certain people famed in song. Ian Wallace, you first. This opera chorus seems to be very enthusiastic about somebody. What does he do for a living? Something perfectly marvellous. Yes, Ian.
Yes, the Meistersingers of Nuremberg by Wagner. Mm-hmm. And what does he do?
Yes, they're singing in praise of somebody. What does
yes,
he do?
Yes, well, that's in praise of Hans Sachs.
Thank you.
Who is a cobbler.
He sits and cobbles, as the other song says.
Yeah, that's right. That's, yes. Well, a different entertainment.
That's quite. And they sing.
He works at Boots.
Indeed, he does. Yes.
Or no socks. We're German.
Yes.
And there, the chorus is singing "Hail Sachs, Nuremberg's dear Sachs." So, Dennis Norton, you have a mark in. Dennis, what's the profession embodied in this middle eight bars?
A real estate news printer who...
That's right, yes.
Oh, I would think steals blueprints.
Yes.
There's a friendly fellow who prints all the latest real estate news. Every day he sends me blueprints of cottages with country views.
That's right, because my friend, very, very good friend, the Milton says that I'm going to get married and buying a house. Yes, so the answer really is an estate agent, I suppose we would say, or an architect or something. Mark to you. John Amos, what's this fellow's profession?
He makes rather nice salt cellars.
Yes, that's right. Because he is, or was...
Benvenuto Cellini, silversmith, goldsmith.
Yes, sculptor, formerly goldsmith, artist, writer to Benvenuto Cellini, the composer...
Berlioz,
yes. Mark to you. Frank Muir, what did this fellow do with his hand?
An all-weather fornicator.
It was not my purpose in asking the question.
An all-weaver fornicator.
Oh, yes. Oh, weaver's tree.
Yes, that's right. That's why I played you that line.
He got weaving in all weathers.
Thank you, Dennis. He did. He got weaving in all weathers. Yes, a weaver, Mark to Frank. And on to the next round, and some questions about some musical people, real-life musical people. Ian, who, as a small boy of nine, is reported to have said, "Only think, nurse, Papa blows his nose in G.
Only think, nurse.
Papa blows his nose in G.
Well, I mean, that might have... It can't have been Mozart, because he wouldn't have had a nurse.
No,
I mean, Mozart's the sort of man who would have known that his father had a cold in A flat or whatever it was.
Well, they'd have been touring together.
Yes. Presumably, if he had a nurse, he must have been somebody rather upper class.
Very much so, yes. Ah. Yes. With a siphon in his name, as a friend of mine once remarked.
With a hyphen?
Name with a siphon
with
in it.
With a siphon in his name, yes.
And a knighthood eventually. I'm helping you because he's the most obscure gentleman. A church composer of the last century. A knighthood.
Well, you said sort of the hyphen and all that. I was thinking perhaps it was Vaughan Williams.
No.
But, you
know. I don't even think he has a hyphen, actually. No,
I think he did have a hyphen.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to tell you, I can't give you any marks. He was Sir Frederick Arthur Gore Ouseley Bart, 1825
to 89. Was he,
Joe? No, Gore Ouseley.
And I love him because on the back of the church anthems of my youth, they used to print the name of the anthem and the name of the composer. They used, like, sort of, Hale, and then... say it's Sullivan or something like that. And I always remember it said at one of them, "How goodly are thy tents, Sir Frederick Arthur Gore Ouseley Bart." And I always felt I'd like to have seen Sir Frederick's tents. Well, I can't give Ian a mark, but I hope to give it Dennis one, because Dennis, your question is this. Who said, "There is nothing better than a good guitar, save perhaps two"?
One would think it's guitar selling, but it's probably guitar playing. Is it?
Well, no. It's the last person you'd expect, and I don't think you work your way towards
it. No, I never expect it. I'm still fascinated by Sir Frederick Gore Ouseley, poor dear, spent his whole life in music, and what you remembered of him was his hyphen.
And the fact that his father blew his nose in G. Yes, that's right.
No, I don't know who said...
No. Do you happen to know, Ian, who said this?
No, I don't know at all.
Was it, because I saw a programme on it recently, Villa Lobos, who also got a hyphen, I believe.
No, much earlier. No, it was a gentleman who spent a lot of his time writing nocturnes. It was Chopin who said, "There is nothing better than a good guitar, save perhaps two."
But
I thought you might like to pay a mark to find out, and that is indeed what you've done.
Ambrose Bierce said, "There's only one thing worse than a clarinet, and that's two."
Yes. There's more truth in that, actually, than what Chopin said, I think. John, here's a proposition for you. If RPA was the grandson of the headmaster of Rugby, who was CAE? That's not easy either. If RPA was the grandson of the headmaster of Rugby, who was CAE? Frank, I should think, is writing down the name of his grandfather.
My grandfather's name is Muir.
No. How are you doing, John? Have you got any idea?
Is it something to do with Elgar?
Yes, you got it. Right. Work your way towards it, then. C-A-E was...
Royal Philharmonic Arnold.
No, the question is, who was C-A-E?
Oh, Caris?
Yes.
Alice?
Elgar. Right. Lady Elgar. Elgar's Enigma variations named after various friends, or their initials. So C-A-E was Caris Alice Elgar, and you have the mark, actually.
I should think so, too.
Because that was the question. RPA in the Enigma variations was the son of Matthew Arnold, who was, of course, the son of the famous Dr. Arnold of Rugby. So that's the answer to that one. And you've started the marks off in this round.
But not Malcolm.
I was waiting for them to put the boot in, bring Malcolm in.
Frank, your turn. The most popular of all Irish songs was written by a New Yorker of Dutch-German descent who never visited Ireland in his whole life. Which song was that?
What Irish songs? If you know English, come in, shut up.
The most popular Irish song of all.
It's... When Irish eyes are smiling...
You're right, it is. Yes, it is. That's got you a mark. When Irish eyes are smiling, composed in 19... I say it again. Composed in 1912 by George Graff. New Yorker, Dutch-German descent, never went to Ireland in his life. He died in 1973 at the age of 86, in Frank Herzog.
When Lerner and Lowe came over to do Brigadoon, they used to put it out firmly to everybody that they had written this score with all these Scott songs about this Highland village, only ever having heard the Campbells are coming and the bluebells of Scotland.
Well, let's bring in at this point a splendid operatic voice, Placido Domingo. Now, Ian, a little later, in the same scene as that, the singer talks about his favourite city. City like a flowering tree. Which
Isn't
city?
That lovely, isn't it?
Mm.
It's even more lovely because I know the answer.
Yeah. Time to sit back and enjoy the music.
Yes.
Which city?
Well, I think it's from Janiskiki.
Yes.
Or Janiskiki. And there is, this is in praise of Florence.
You've got it, yes. Rinuccio singing in praise of Florence. One mark. Dennis, while listening with the rest of us to a few bars of a barcarolle by Verdi, can you figure out the origin of the word barcarolle? Or, if you prefer, an Italian barcarola?
Me now?
Yes, you now. Yes.
Well, you're expecting some long, involved story about
That's
this,
right, yes, six
you?
Minutes will do.
No, is it because I happen to know the answer to this. The phrase, the word barcarolle, originated at the beginning, round about the beginning of this century, when there was an unemployed citizen of Venice, a Venetian, who came over to England to try and get work. And he didn't know what to do. He saw an advertisement. It was when Gilbert and Sullivan were just writing The Gondoliers, and they were holding auditions for it. And he saw this advert that said, men wanted for The Gondoliers. And he thought, well, you know, coming from Venice, dead cert, you know, anything to do with boats. And so he applied, and Sir Arthur Sullivan said, you know, would you sing a few phrases? And he sang, When Venetian Eyes Are Smiling. And, of course, it was terrible. And Arthur Sullivan said, do you know anything at all about music? And this Venetian said, well, what they thought he said was barcarolle. he didn't, but the word has stayed in the vocabulary as anything to do with boats, any song to do with boats.
One mark to Dennis. Yes, barcarolle is a boat song, and we move on. John Amis, Domingo sings again. This time, what is the opera, please, and who composed it?
Yeah.
Frankly, no.
He's
probably one of the minor Verismo gentlemen.
Yes.
Mascagni, Chilea, Giordano.
You got him. He was your second choice there. Now, you got him, among others. Chilea, Francesco Chilea, and the opera then would be...
Fedora?
No.
No. Adriana Lecouvreur.
Adriana Lecouvreur, that's right. I think you deserve a mark.
Yeah.
Yes, good for you. Yeah. Adriana Lecouvreur. Chilea. Frank, listen to this operatic excerpt in French and see how poetically, indeed, see how felicitously you can express the words afterwards in English.
Fenêtre, I got.
Yes.
That's good. Well, the English definitely. I thought you were writing something. Doodling.
No.
Fenêtre, the blushing bride, she looked divine. The bridegroom, he was doing fine. I'd rather have his job than mine when I'm cleaning windows.
Absolutely. I think he deserves half a mark for that. Or, I should say, put another way, and I quote, "But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, kill the envious moon," and so on.
Do you want the name of the piece?
Yes,
It's Romeo and...
Oh, I had it a moment ago. Yeah. See now, what is it? Yes, Romeo and Juliet, from Gounod's version, that's right. And, well, half a mark out of one. Ian, can you have a shot at guessing when the show Yes, Yes, Yvette first hit Broadway? I accept two kinds of answer.
Well,
the date or...
Yes, Yes, Yvette. Well, it would either be before, presumably, or after. No, 1925.
Near, I think it's near enough. 1927.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
that's right. Because No, Nanette was 25. Yes, Yes, Yvette, 19...
Yes, No, I thought you meant No.
No. 1927 was the date I was after. I'm reminded, I think I've mentioned before, about the Scotsman. Do you remember? Went up to the band leader and said, "Will you play No, Nanette?" And the band leader said, "I'm sorry, I can't." And he said, No, Nanette. Dennis, which year of grace was this year of grace?
Oh, this year of grace was the Null Card Review.
Yes.
Oh, this is terrible, because I didn't interview with Jessie Matthews.
Yes, she was in it.
Once, yes, she was. And I can remember she sang A Room with a View, in which she sang with Sonny Hale on a balcony, set halfway up the back wall of the stage. And she sang a song called something about... I Wish I Could Dance Like Grandma Did, or something like that. Mm. And also, Dance Little Lady came out of it as well. Mm-hmm. The one thing I did not mug up was the date. But I would say it was pre-1930,
yes.
About 1927.
1928. Oh. You're right, yes. Mm. Noel Card Review at the London Pavilion. John, your turn. Can you put a year to Whittington et son chat? Whittington.
1947?
Oh, no. Not by a mile. You don't know it, do you?
No.
I heard of Whittington et son chat. It was by Offenbach.
Ah.
Way off. It was 1876. So, not near enough.
Oh, Mark, I would have thought.
Yeah. Frank, when did The King and I open?
Well, Yul Brynner, he was a television producer or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But he was bald at the time, so it was, couldn't have been all that long ago. It's about 20 years away. It's about 1954.
Well, I think it's near enough. 1951 on Broadway, actually, was when The King and I opened. And I think that's near enough for a mark. Rather interesting little footnote to that, by the way. I have in my home a copy of The Times newspaper, dated Wednesday, June the 4th, 1845. and the advertisement there for the Theatre Royal Haymarket, a new farce entitled The King and I. And it's about a bumpkin coming to London and meeting William the Fourth and thinking he was somebody else. So the title, either a coincidence or the title was not original when Rodgers and Hammerstein did it. Just looking at the marks for a moment, leading by a mere half mark at this halfway point, John Amis and Frank Muir. Borrowing a book title from Frank Muir, I call this round Pieces of Hate. They're songs to do with hatred or dislike, or, in the immortal words of Louis Armstrong,
"Boy, I sure be glad when you did. You ain't no good at all."
Okay, then, hatred or dislike is the key to this round. Ian, who is this?
I hate men. I can't abide them even now and then. If I'd ever marry one of them, I'd rest a maiden rather. For husbands are a boring lot, honey, and they give you a lot of bother. Of course, I'm pretty glad that mother deigned to marry father, but still, I hate men.
Ian, who was it?
Pearl Bailey.
Yes, Pearl Bailey. That's right, gets you a mark. Dennis, listen to the next 8 bars of the same song and see if you can figure out who wrote it.
Now, of all the types I've ever met within our democracy, I hate the most the athlete with his manner bold and brassy. He may have hair upon his chest, but sisters, so has Lassie. You see, I just hate men. Indeed, I do.
Well, it comes from Kiss Me, Kate,
yeah.
And it's Cole Porter. Actually, that length of line and the way the stress is forced, it's exactly the same as Much Binding in the Marsh, isn't it? It's,
oh, yes.
Because what was that like?
Pentameter or something.
It's, he may have hairs upon his chest, but brother, so has Lassie. Yeah. At much,
3-4, binding in the marsh.
Yeah.
Yes. Come to think of it, yeah. A mark to you. John, again, Cole Porter, but this time not so much a song of hate, more a song of sheer indifference.
He said my maxillaries were marvels, and found my sternum stunning to see. He did a double hurdle when I shook my pelvic girdle, but he never said he loved me.
Who's the singer, John?
Not on the National Health, it's Gertrude Lawrence.
Yes, Gertrude Lawrence, the physician. Mark to you. Frank, this is not a total personal hatred, just a hatred for pedal extremities.
Up in Harlem, at a table for two, there were 4 of us, me, your big Pete, and you. From your ankle up, I'll say you sure are sweet. From that down, there's just too much feet. Yes.
Too much
feet. You don't like to curse your feet. Too
yes.
Big.
That's half Fats a mark Waller. For the title. Fats Waller for the other half.
Yes,
your feet, that's right. Right. And for this last singing round, we have songs about songs. Dennis, you first. You were rough and ready, guys, but boy, how you could harmonize. What was it that you harmonized?
Heart of my heart. I love that mellow...
D.
D. You can
heart
do
it.
Of my heart. They're waiting for me to sing off key.
Yes, Heart of My Heart was what you sang. The gang that sang Heart of My Heart. 2 marks you get for that. John Amis, your turn. Will you please sing O When I Leave Off O?
How?
What?
Sing me a song.
Yeah, all right.
Sung to the moon by a tall, lovelorn loon who fled from the mocking throng. Tis a tale from a merry man, moping mum, with a soul so sad and a glance so glum. He sips no sup and he craves no crumb as he sighs for the love of a lady. Come on, Ian.
Yes.
achieved a duet at last.
They may be rough and ready guys, but oh, how they can harmonize.
Yeah. I must say, it's a bit much asking me to sing Gilbert and Sullivan with Ian sitting
well,
there.
It's
like asking me to recite Johnny Mercer lyrics with Dennis Norden, or mentioning the 18th century with Frank next door to me.
Or it's like asking Frank to sing the song that the mission bells sing.
Ramona, I hear the mission bells above. Ramona, they're ringing out a song of love. I bless you, caress you, and bless the day you taught me to care. I'll always remember the rambling rose you wore in your ear.
Nobody. No. Let's call a halt there. Nobody says rambling rose like Frank.
Oh, you've got to take them sometimes, Frank, as well as give them.
Two marks.
Ian, a twilight song of love, these, which I find to my surprise you've never sung yet, I think, in any of these programmes, certainly not for a long time.
Well, it's no surprise to me.
I think the audience might like to join in. Here we go.
Just a song at twilight, when the lights are low. This way up, please.
As Ian said, sad the day and long, but I hope we may have cheered up yours. A victory this week by a half mark for John Amis and Frank Lear. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.